Okay, we're on page 820. Last week, we started Kodach. We didn't learn too much inside. We discussed out orally. We discussed a few things. We're not done yet. But what does it mean, Vayikach Korach? Korach took. He took him with words. Or, like we learned last week, he took a talus full of tchelas and asked Moshe Rabbeinu, does he need tzitzis or not? Last week, we discussed the letters of Kodach, Kufresh Ches, all, so to speak, bad letters, thought, speech, and action, not of Kedusha, but of evil. You know, I mean, all those various different types of things we discussed. Well, you want it? You can close the door. Yes, you can. You had such self-sacrifice to come to the class, straight from the airport. You could close the door tonight. Okay. Now, what really bothered Kedach over here, besides his wife, like we learned last week, she got him going, but Kedach was upset because Levi had four sons, okay? Rashi brings down the four sons. There are Amram, Yitzhar, one second, where is this? No. Levi had three sons. But Kahas, Rashi says, get the name straight. Okay. B'nai Kahas, Amram, Yitzhar, who was Kerech's father. The third one, and the other one was, I don't know why my brain went blank. One second. Okay, Shmeiz, I'll tell you in a second. Well, one second. Let's look at the inside in there. Okay. It says like this. B'nai Kohas. Kohas had four sons. Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uzziel. Okay? Those were the four sons of Kohas. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the son of the oldest, Amram, took double. Okay, Bechor gets double. So he took Aaron Kohuna, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Malucha. So he said, okay, when Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Elitzofad, who is the son of Uzziel, as the head of Shevet Levi, Kedach said, 1 minute, that's not fair. My father was the second son. So even if Amram wants to take two things for himself, Moshe and Aaron, but the next leadership should come to me. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu pick Elitzof and Ben Uzziel? So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kedach, it's not me, it's Hashem. Okay? So what did Kedach do? Kedach got a lot of the people together. We'll soon see how he got them. And he said, you think I'm interested in me? I'm not interested in me. This is ridiculous. Moshe has taken all the credit for himself. Him and Aaron, it's a family business. And that's what he means. Vayikach Kedach. He took, the Kedach took with words, and he started telling him, let's make a machlekes. Okay? So, there's an interesting thing that Rebbe explains over here. Parshas Kedach follows the Meraglim. Okay? In the previous parsha we learned all about the spies. And now, Kedach's story happened after the Meraglim. So explain like this. Why did Kedach not argue before the Meraglim? Because, if you remember, what was the sin of the Meraglim? They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Right? We learned that at great length. They wanted to stay in the desert, because in the desert, they're able to learn, and to daven, and, you know, they had no worries. Now that they go into Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of mitzvahs they're going to have to do in the land, but they're going to have to work the land. They have to plow and cultivate, and then you can give the tithes and the truma and the mice and everything else.
And they knew about it.
Yeah, they knew about it. And that's why the Meraglim didn't go. So, after the sin of the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu's basic, if you look philosophically, Moshe Rabbeinu's answer to the concept of the Meraglim was, no, mitzvahs are what matters. You can't stay in the desert and learn Torah a whole day, because you can't do mitzvahs in the desert, because you don't have the agricultural thing, which is the basis of most of the mitzvahs in those days. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu accomplish with the Meraglim, basically? That action counts. So now Kedach comes along and says, if action is what matters, if action matters, what makes Moshe Rabbeinu holier than me? Action, everybody's the same. You're talking about learning and davening. I understand. Moshe Rabbeinu is greater. Aaron is greater. This one's greater. But if you're talking about action, which is the outcome of the Meraglim, that they need to go into Eretz Yisrael because action of mitzvahs is important. So now Kedach comes and says, 1 minute. If that's the case, everybody's holy. Everybody can do mitzvahs. What makes you a better Jew than everybody else? And that's how Chassidus explains why Kedach came after the story of the spies, because that's exactly what the spies wanted. They said there's a difference, let's learn, where there's a difference between one Jew and the next. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, action matters. So he said, if action matters, then we're all the same. Okay, that's number one. Okay, so let's see the Pasuk inside. Because last time we really didn't learn the Pasuk in, so we just discussed the various different things, what happened. Okay. Ve'yikach Kedach ben Yitzhak ben Kohos ben Levi. Kedach took the son of Yitzhak, the son of Kohos, the son of Levi. And we know that it doesn't say here Ben Yaakov. Why doesn't it say here Ben Yaakov? Because Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed said, "Bekolam Maltechad Kavedi, do me a favor, I don't want to be part of this group." So Yaakov Avinu said, "Do me a favor and don't put me into it."
So Yaakov,
you know, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed in Parshas Vayechi, when he was blessing the children, and he came to Shimon and Levi, and he was like screaming at them a little bit. So he said, here, "B'kaholam al teichad kavedi." Okay? He said, with their congregation, do not join my honor. So Yaakov Avinu davened Hashem, I don't want to be part of the Kedach story. Okay? So do me a favor, leave my name out. So out of respect to Yaakov Avinu, the pasuk stops at Levi.
Rabbeinu?
What?
Why does it have to mention all the fathers?
Oh, so the Medrash elaborates over here. Okay, it says like this. Yitzhar. In fact, he says it here also. Yitzhar is that's interesting. Okay, here he brings down the Medrash, says like this. Okay, Kedach means he made a bald spot in the world. Kedach means bald. Right? He made a bald spot in the world. Ben Yitzhar, Yitzhar Tzaharayim, is when the sun shines. He burnt the whole world with his evil. Okay? Ben Levi, Levi means accompaniment. He made an accompaniment to Gehenim, because Kedach and the whole gang ended up in Gehenim. That's why it says Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi. Yeah, of course that was their name. But why is the Torah mentioning it? Like, you asked a good question. Why is the Torah mentioning these three generations? Because the Torah is telling us what he actually accomplished. In fact, Das Gimbal, the Tesis brings it down also. But he brings it out a little bit different. Ben Kohos, Shekia Shinov Melidov. He blunted Kohos, like the Hakei Shinov you do to the Russia. It means he blunted the world, he dulled the world with his thing. So that's why the Torah numer. But Yaakov Avinu begged, do me a favor, I don't want to be part of it. Rashi brings down from the Gemara and from the Medrash a very interesting thing. Kedach, you see, when you learn Chumash, without the deeper meanings of it, somebody would think Kedach was this wicked guy, you know, this Baal Machlekes, and that's all. Kedach, the Gemara calls him Pikechaya. Kedach was brilliant. Kedach was great. Geiruch was from the children of Kohath that carried the ark with their hands, right? Geiruch was to use modern day language, he probably wore a shtreimel with white socks. He was a big great person. And the Gemara asks, why did Geiruch know? Why is he starting up with Moshe Rabbeinu? Whoever started up with Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it too well. And Gemara says, Geiruch shepika choya marol shtus zeh. Why did he touch shtus from Geiruch's part? Why did he do it? And the Gemara says like this. Keirich had nevuah. Shmuel Anavi came out from Keirich. Wow. He was a descendant of Keirich. Friday night in Davening, in the Luchun Rano, we say over there from Tilim, Moshe v'Adam v'Choyanov, Moshe Aaron in the corner, u'Shmuel v'Kurdish Shmei. Shmuel in the, calling the name of Hashem. So the Medrash says, the Gemara and the Medrash says, Shmuel was equal to Moshe and Aaron together. That's what it says. So Keirach foresaw, and obviously that itself shows how great he was, yeah? Keirach saw that Shmuel Anavi is coming out of me. So Keirach understood that I can't die, my kids can't die, because how can Shmuel Anavi come out of it? So the Gemara says, Ra avoleira. He saw, but he didn't see. Because Kerach's kids did tshuva and they didn't die. Like it says later on, B'nei Kerach le'mesu. Kerach's children did tshuva. So Kerach thought, Shmuel HaNavi is going to come out for me. How could I die? Then he won't be able to come out for me. What Kerach didn't know is that his children did tshuva. So they survived and they eventually had Shmuel. And he perished.
Wasn't at the same time that Korach is going on the drone, the sun?
Yeah, but they did tshuva.
The same time?
Yeah, they did tshuva.
And using for
the
benching
Livnei Korach? Livnei Korach Mitzvah Shitz, and tell them, they did tshuva. They had a very, very high place.
So this is the same Korach that in the Tehillim?
Livnei Korach. There's only one Korach.
Yes.
One Korach. What?
Was Shmuel a Levi?
Shmuel a Levi, sure. Shmuel was a Levi because he came from Keirach. He came from Shevet Levi. Shmuel was a Levi. So he said, that's why Keirach, but Keirach, you shouldn't think Keirach was a brilliant scholar, a very frum man. He wasn't like you picture an Esav. Even Esav didn't look exactly the way the Torah describes him. Esav was also a very great man. So Keirach sin, as we'll soon learn, was that he started up against Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, everybody's holy, why do we need you? But it says, jealousy, and this was the problem, jealousy is so deeply rooted that Keirach, it takes over the person, jealousy. There's an expression Chassidus brings down, which is a very sharp expression, that says, we mentioned it in the past, Sina machmas kina ein la takana. The Rebbe Rashab brings down in a maimer that hatred that comes from jealousy can never be rectified. It's very deeply rooted. Because, let's say, you keep bothering me, okay? And I hate you because you bother me. You stop bothering me, I'm going to stop hating you, right? There's cause and effect. You keep hitting me. Okay, you stop hitting me, I'm not going to hate you anymore. But kina is not what you do to me. It's not possible for you to stop doing it to me, because that's not what jealousy is. It's me. I'm jealous of what you have, or what you are. Instead, so it's not you being able to stop it, and therefore I won't hate you anymore. Understand? So, kina, jealousy, that's what it says. Kina, vat kovid, vat taiva, metzina sadam, and pirkei avos. It says, kina gets a person out of the world. And one of the proofs of it, by the way, is from Keirach, the Mefarshim explain. Kina, vat taiva, vat kovid, which was all the things Keirach wanted, those actually took him out of the world.
How come he didn't know that?
You know what? When you get so involved in something, you lose control over yourself.
Hashem wanted.
Yeah, Hashem wanted. It's Hashem wanted, but it was Keirach's doing. Okay, now, by the way, Korach was extremely wealthy. The Gemara says Korach was the wealthiest man that ever lived. He found, he said, it says, Pari, he had three treasures. One was found by Nebuchadnezzar, one was by Korach. Korach found a lot of the treasures of the, all the money that came for, during the hunger years, you know, to, it's Egypt, they brought all the money to buy food. And Pari divided into three and hid one group, hid one thing of money, and Korach found it. Korach. Pari, it's the same thing. I mean, the government. No. So Korach found it. And he was very, very wealthy. Okay. So it says like this. Who else was involved with him? So it says, V'dasim v'aviram b'nei aliyav, ein ben pelos b'nei ruvein. Okay, Dasim and Aviram, like we learned last week, were brothers. And ein ben pelos b'nei ruvein. Now Rashi says, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses this whole Korach story. So it says, Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheinei. Woe is to the wicked person, woe is to his neighbor. The way they camped in the Mishkan, Kahas, remember we learned, the three kids camped around the Mishkan. And then you had the four flags, right? So, on the Taman side, on the south side of the Mishkan, was Kahas, where Korach was, and Bnei Reuven. So Korach, because he was on that side of the Mishkan, close to Reuven, they influenced the tribe of Reuven to go, because they were bad neighbors. So they weren't good neighbors that had good influence. Korach had bad influence on his neighbors.
Didn't you also have to do that? Reuven was the firstborn, and they were trying to say that, you know, you do that.
I was going to mention this soon, that it's brought down. There was three arguments over here. Okay? Not only Reuven for that reason. How did Korach, in other words, it's just, both are true. They're Korach's neighbors. So he had influence on them. How did he do it? He said to them, you know, you really should be a b'chad, Reuven. Okay, so he gave Yosef the b'chad, two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. But how does Levi get here? You know, how does Moshe and Aaron get here with all these things? So he, again, that's why he said, Vayikach Korach, he took him with words. Not only like we learned last week, he took the talis and the mezuzah and all that, but he took him with words. He said, look, I'm fighting for you. You guys really should be a firstborn. I'm fighting for you. Then it says even more. The 250 people that it's going to speak about in the next pasuk, the Gemara and the Medrash says they were all firstborns. They were firstborns.
All of them.
In other words, like this. Dasan Aviram and Ein Ben Peles were three people from Shevet Reuven. In addition to that, he took from 11 tribes, not Levi, but from the 11 tribes, he wanted a mini Sanhedrin. A minimal Sanhedrin to give death penalty is 23. So he took 23 from each tribe. Now if you add 23 times 11 is 253. So you had the 250 leaders of the next pasuk, plus Dasan and Aviram and Ein Ben Peles was 253. Why did he get 253 people, the Medrash says? Like what? Why is the Torah telling us 250 people? He wanted to establish a Bezdin from each tribe to make a ruling that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't be the head. So this is all strategic planning. Okay, so that's what he took. Okay, we'll see. Vayukum lefnei Moshe. They got up before Moshe. Vanoshim bnei Yisrael chamishim ha-masayim. 200 Jews from the rest of page 820. Nesiei Eda, they're all leaders. Kriya Meyed, people that were called, in other words, you know, leaders of the assembly, summoned for the meetings. Anshe Shem, men of fame. Now, there is an interpretation, Mamleir brings down from the Sefer, that it says, what does it mean, Anshe Shem? That they knew how to use God's name in the Kabbalistic sense, you know, they have the Hashem's name that the Kabbalists would do things with. Anshe Shem, As Mefarshim explained, it means they were men that knew how to utilize the name of God to do various different miracles, so to speak. That's how great they were. And they were prominent. Every time there was a meeting for the community, they were part of it. Famous people. That's what Kerach did.
Them.
He convinced them.
Why is that a good subject?
He was probably a good speaker.
A good subject.
Well, yeah.
Good subject.
But listen, to make fights, it's very easy. What?
It doesn't make sense that everybody saw the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu and yet they wanted him to rebel against him.
So he says, the Mamloy is being done like this. You should know, he says, at the beginning when they got up to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, the people were very scared to do it. Maybe, what were they afraid? That the rest of the, you're talking about 253 people. Kayach is 254, right? Out of 600,000. It was not a lot of people here at the beginning. Later on, you know, people joined in. You know what, for the fun of it. She says, they're afraid that they're going to stone them, kill them. The people are going to say to them, what are you standing over the Moshe Rabbeinu for? So what did they do? They said, no, we're here for you. We're not worried about our own glory. You know, we're politicians. Mm-hmm. We're only interested in the people. That's what they told them. And that's what they convinced them.
Yes. The only things they can get to them.
That's what they wanted to do. Okay. Vayikalu Amesha Val Aaron. They gathered against Moshe and Aaron. Vayimlo Aleihem. They said to them, Rav Lachem, it's too much for you. Meaning, like we said before, how much do you need? You took for yourself Kahuna, you took for yourself Levia, you took for yourself Malchut, you took everything for yourself. And they said, Kichol Ha'eda Kulam Kadeshim, the whole community is holy. Uvaseichem Hashem and Hashem is within you. Madua tisnasa akal Hashem. Why do you want to go make yourself greater than everybody else? Why do you want to be better than everybody else? We also heard, like it says, the Aseres HaDibros. What's ironic over here is, what did Kerach want? To be better than everybody else. He was upset that Ali Tzofen was made the leader of the Levium. He wanted to be. He said, according to order, I should be next. Right? So what did Kerach really want? Also to be a leader. But this is the way arguments work. You scream at somebody else, the faults that you yourself have, you scream why somebody else does it. That's the way it works. But that's what Kerach did. He's screaming, everybody's holy. What makes you better than everybody else? And as we explained before, especially now that we're talking about mitzvahs, the action of mitzvahs, everybody's equal. So what makes you better than everybody else?
This is nice. They show out revolution in their country. They do it, started exactly the same like this.
Where?
A revolution in any country they want to do it, they started with the same excuse.
Right.
Okay.
But the Mefarshim explain, Kerach's thing was not wrong, but it wasn't right either. Even though everybody's holy, you still need a leader. Mm-hmm. That's what the point is. Kerach saying, if everybody's holy, you don't need a lawyer. You don't need a leader. You don't need a leader. So Hashem is and that's why when he took the talis full of tchelis. What's he saying? So what do you need tzitzis for? If the house is full of svarim, what do you need a mezuzah for? But the halacha is not like that. Even though everybody's holy, all Jews are holy, every Jew has an neshama, part of Hashem, children of Hashem, nevertheless, Hashem said, you still need a leader for guidance. Then that's what the Kerach's problem was. Okay. Vayishma Meisha Rabbeinu heard, Vayipal Alpanev, and he fell on his face. Now, the Mefarshim explain over here that there's three arguments that took place over here. Okay, like we said before, Kerach wanted to be a Kayin, because later on, it doesn't say it yet, but when Meisha Rabbeinu was arguing with Kerach, he says, Ubigashtem Gam Kohuna, why do you want to be a Kayin? That means Kerach was fighting, he wanted to be a Kayin. Second argument was, they were all firstborn, and they said, now we lost it to the Levium. It's also not fair. And then we said, Reuven was upset. Why is Levi getting everything? We're Bechor, we also want to get. Okay?
Moshe heard what? And feel on the face, on his face. What do you mean?
Oh, one second, we'll see what it means. But Yishma Meshav Ayipal Aponav. He fell on his face. Literally, it means that he basically, as Rashi explains, gave up. Because this is the fourth fight that the Jewish people are doing already. Rashi says, they send in the ego, Moshe fought for them. The Mesainanim complaining about no meat, Moshe Rabbeinu daven for them. For the spies, Moshe daven for them. You know, after three times, Moshe Rabbeinu says, my God, what do you want me to do already? Be'ipal aponav, he said, I can't daven to Hashem anymore. How many times do you think Hashem is going to tolerate this? And then, to take it even a step further, the Medrash says, what does it mean, Vayishma Meshe Vayipal aponav? Believe it or not, the Medrash says that they suspected Meshe Rabbeinu of adultery. You believe it? The people were saying, Meshe, how do you start to... You start, in Yiddish, bashmutzing them. You start throwing dirt at them. So you start saying that Meshe Rabbeinu they wanted to. They said that he had it was committing adultery, and that's how the Mefarshim explained it over here from the Medrash. The Baal Turim says, "Begmatu melami kichashdu beisha." The Sanhedrin says, "Okay." The Gemara Sanhedrin is the Gemara that says, "B'msech the Sanhedrin omru mashmu shama v'yishma meisha." What did he hear? Of course, he heard. I mean, what did he hear? It says there were cheshidim be'eshes ish. Okay, so the Kliyoker says, "Come on, that's a little bit too far." Okay? So he explains, any place where there's Kedusha, there's Erva, any place where there's super holiness, that's where there's evil. A very interesting concept over here, just to take a few minutes to explain it. You know when a Jew wakes up in the morning, your hands are tummy. Correct? So therefore you have to wash, Negelwasser, as it's called, to take off the tumor. By a Goy, there's no tumor. A Goy doesn't have to wash Negelwasser. Right? Why? No, think about it. A Jew, in the morning, their hands are impure, they shouldn't touch food, and they shouldn't touch things, parts of the body. And a guy gets up in the morning, you can give him Shalom Aleichem, they don't need to wash Nagel Vassar, there's no problem. Like, why is that? So it's a very interesting thing. It says in Kabbalah, and the halacha brings it down also, because it's relevant to halacha, that goyim don't have to wash in the dress to wash. It says like this, tumah exists where kedusha was and left. When there is kedusha in a place and the kedusha leaves, there's a vacuum. And because of the vacuum, tumah comes in. In a place where there's no kedusha to begin with, tumah doesn't come. Therefore, it's a very interesting thing. A Jew, male or female, doesn't matter, has bodily impurities, whether it's nida or zav, or, you know, there's impurities that a man has to, or a woman has to go to the mikveh. There's no concept of these impurities by a guy. In other words, technically, a woman who's a guy is not Jewish doesn't have a din of a nida. She doesn't have, because there's no nida by a non-Jewish person. Right? Like, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, yeah? if a woman was in need and she gave Shalom Aleichem to her friend, that lady couldn't go into the Beis HaMikdash. She had to go to the mikveh. The one that needed touched, right? She also becomes Tamei in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. She would have to go to the mikveh before she goes into the Beis HaMikdash, before she eats karbanis, before she eats, she's impure. If a shiksik touched a Jewish woman's hand, there was no tumah there. If a man was Tamei touched another friend of his, that friend had to go to the mikveh. If a guy gave you hello and shook your hand, there's no tumah. Why? Because the concept of tumah exists where holiness exists, and then it leaves. In a place where there's no kedusha to begin with, there's no tumah. Not as far as kedusha of a manifestation of godliness. Again, they have an important purpose and the role, but kedusha, no. Ki am kodesh ato l'Hashem alakecha. The Jews are told by Hashem, you're holy. They manifest godliness. So, you know, so anytime there's kedusha, the Gemara says, b'chomok shatam eishen kedusha, shamatam meitza erva. Because it's a balance. So it says, because everybody, it means down that everybody says that they were, v'ikanel meishen b'machana, everybody who suspected Meishen Rabbeinu with their own wife, and therefore, Vayishma Meisha Vayipal Alponov. Why? Because the Gemara says in Saita, when the Gemara speaks about haughtiness, the Gemara says, whoever is very haughty, end result is will commit adultery. Kol mi shegovei alev lepseif nichshel ba'eshes ish. This expression in the Gemara, beginning of Saita. It will come to. So now that he's telling Meisha Kolei the Kulum Kadeshim Umaduat is now Zalkal Hashem, why are you haughtier than everybody else? Yeah? So then Meisha Rabbeinu understood, Vayishma Meisha Vayipol Aponov, he fell down. So some of us should learn that he fell on his face to Davin. But Rashi learns that Vayipol Aponov also from the Gemara, Vayipol Aponov, he said, this is the fourth time already, what do you want me to do? I can't come to Hashem. And by the way, it's interesting. Meshe Rabbeinu didn't daven to Hashem over here. Only daven to Hashem that the earth should open up and swallow them in. But Meshe Rabbeinu didn't stick up for Kedach here.
Why did they say tomorrow? After that, they say tomorrow.
What that, we'll see what that means.
He already tried to bring Korach back.
He did.
Before that, right?
Right. For the sake, Rashi brings a Moshe Leben Melech. There's a story, an analogy, a marshal of a prince that rebelled against the king. So a friend of the king, friend of the family, came and, you know, made a peace between the prince and the king. Again, again, and again, it's much more difficult. In Zayar it says, and this is Badani, guess it should in Tanya, in Zayar it says that once you sin three times, it's like an established, a chazaka, an established pattern of sin. So it's much more difficult to do tshuva after three times than it is after two times. Because now you have a kisra misitrudol lesitrudol. The Zayas uses the expression, then it goes from the side of Kedusha all the way to the side of evil. And this is the fourth time, so Meshach Rabbeinu the city. You know, what am I going to do over here?
How come Yom Kippur, we do the same sin every year?
Who? You sin, though.
Why?
You don't sin. You don't sin.
How do you know that?
I know. God told me. The difference is, though, it says that even though there's a difference, the Zohar says, between three times and more, less than three than one, three times, by Hashem, it's different. If you think about it, Hashem's a real nice guy. I mean, if you could say that to Hashem. Hashem is a real nice person. A nice God. He's the other person. We say in davening.
After all, he's a person.
Who?
Hashem?
He's male.
He's a female.
Oh, excuse me.
No. God is a white male Ashkenazi. You just keep that in mind.
Habado Ashkenazi.
Oh, that's the same thing.
not
okay. No. Did God say Moshe?
Moshe Rabbeinu was Sephardi.
His name was, did God say Moshe or Moshe? What's his name? Moshe or Moshe? His name's Moshe, he's Ashkenazi. His name wasn't Moshe. Anyway, it says like this. Even in human nature, okay, if I do something bad to you once, like Rashi just said, yeah, I'll ask you forgiveness, you'll be meichel me. I'll do it a second time. You'll ask me mechila? I mean, I'll ask you mechila. It's a little bit more difficult, but you'll give me mechila. A third time, you know what, you're going to say already, go fly a kite. I mean, you keep doing it, what do you want? I'm going to forgive you every time. That's human nature. Why is that human nature? Very simple. Because our patience, savlonut, is limited. So if it's limited, we can tolerate it once, twice, three times, but come on, how much do you expect me to tolerate it? In Shemoneh Esrei, we say a bracha three times a day in the Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Ato Hashem, Chanun Hamarbel Lisleach, the merciful one. Marbel Lisleach means unlimited. Marbel, it's an abundance of forgiveness. Not only do we say the bracha, there's a din that if there's a suffix on a bracha, you don't make it, because maybe you're going to say Hashem's name in vain, God forbid. So whenever there's a bracha said, it's a vadai, it's definite. A Jew three times a day says, Baruch Ato Hashem, Chanun Hamarbel Lisleach. If it wouldn't be true that Hashem has infinite forgiveness, we wouldn't be allowed to make a bracha. We'd be saying a bracha in vain three times a day. When you have infinite patience and infinite forgiveness, there's no difference between 1, 10, 100, 20, 30, 1,000, 10,000. There's no difference. It's unlimited. We have limited patience, limited forgiveness. So by us, there's a difference between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The more it does, the less we're going to forgive. By Hashem, it doesn't work like that. As long as the person is sincere, Hashem will forgive you. It could be the 1,000th time. It doesn't matter. Hashem will forgive it, and He knows if we're sincere or not. Hashem will forgive it. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu, looking at the perspective of the Jews versus Hashem, Rashi saying, after three times, this is the fourth time already, I said, Moshe said, what can I do? And also, Moshe Rabbeinu had a more difficult time over here because it was against him personally. All the other times, the ego wasn't against Moshe Rabbeinu personally. The no meat was against him. The miraglim weren't against Moshe. This was a personal vendetta against Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu also had a harder time, so to speak, to get involved. He said, you know, this is about me. What do you want me to do? What?
So they had old grudges for each other.
Yep. They were first cousins. Kedah's father and Moshe's father were brothers, no?
Should be best friends.
Sometimes. Sometimes. That's what we said before. Why did Kedah do the shtus? Because he saw
But the final... But the thing is, Korach wanted it to be leading the Jews.
Let me ask you a question. Not by anybody in this room, God forbid. Do you know when there's a rich man dies and there's a lot of money for inheritance, you know the brothers kill each other? Chas v'shalom. But they do. See, poor people have no problem. Nobody is going to fight because there's nothing to fight over. Right? But when you have, how many times money rips families apart? Really, it does. It does. Anybody involved in
90%.
A lot, right? You're talking about Kerech didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu's money. Kerech was richer than Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's COVID, right? COVID, honor, glory, fame. Yeah.
Fame.
I was once heard a report many years ago. They're discussing why in the world should somebody want to be a president of the United States. They get less money as president. After you get out of office, you make all the money. While you're in office, you make less money than they're making in private sector. Yeah? You have no day or night. The whole world is criticizing you. No matter how good you are, at least 50% of the world criticizes you. Right? Okay. It's such.
Your life in danger.
You have no private life anymore. Whatever you do is all over the place, right? Why do they do it? For a little covet. That's it. You see what people do for covet. No, really. That's so. Kairach wanted had money. He didn't have to collect money for his nomination, for his election, for his campaign. He had all the money in the world, and he was campaigning against
me. He had nebuah too.
And he had nebuah. He knew that Shmuel HaNavi is coming from him. Obviously, again, Kairach was not a bummy rusher off the street. Kairach was a frum yid, a religious Jew, a big Talmud Chacham. He knew how to learn, and he was a great man.
Well, he got the parasha in the Torah.
Yeah, the Kairach is named after him. I mean, a name of Chumash is named after him.
What is his position in Egel, Orach?
Kairach wasn't involved. Levi didn't sit in the Egel. Kairach was not involved in the Egel. I'm sure he wasn't involved in the Mesaninim because he had enough money to buy whatever he wanted. He didn't need to buy get the beef for free. Maybe he was Jewish. I don't know. For free anyway, he'll take. But, you know, okay, Vayidaber al Kairach, Semeshi Rabbeinu spoke to Kairach. Okay, so he says like this, Vayidaber al Kairach al Kol Ados Eleimet, Semeshi Rabbeinu said to Kairach, and those communities sing like this, Beiker, you know what, tomorrow, V'yed Hashem es eshalei, Hashem will make known who is His. V'eis ves hakadosh in the Holy One, v'hikrev elav, and will draw him close to Himself. V'eis hashiyivchabei, and the one Hashem chooses, He will bring closer to Him. So Rashi says again, also from the Gemara again, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu deal with it right away? Okay. He says, let's wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to see who's... So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? Now is the time of shikrus. Now is the time of being drunk. Nobody thinks rational now, because it was in the afternoon, obviously. Nobody can think straight. Let's wait for tomorrow morning. Moshe Rabbeinu's intent was that maybe they'll do tshuva. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping. But the way to get out of it is... Now is the time of Shikrus, and let's wait for tomorrow morning. And then we'll deal with it then. By the way, in Halacha, this is even relevant in Halacha. You know, the Chazan, when he repeats the Shemoneh Esrei in the morning, says Birchas Kohanim. Okay? Mincha, you don't do Birchas Kohanim, except on a fast day. Okay, even the Sfardin that do the Birchat Kohanim every day do not do it at Mincha, only on a fast day. Why? So it says in Halacha, because by midday is the main meal, especially in those areas, right? The main meal is lunch, and people drink, and a Kohen who drinks cannot do the Aveda. Birchat Kohanim is similar to the Aveda. They do Birchat Kohanim, right? So in the afternoon, the Chazan doesn't say Birchas Kohanim, or the Kohen don't do Birchas Kohanim, because they probably drank a cup of wine during the meal. On a fast day where they don't eat, so there's no wine drinking, so they do it at Mincha too. That's the halachic reason why. But Mincha in the afternoon is the time of Shikrus. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you guys are not thinking straight now. Let's wait until the morning. Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping, obviously, that they would be able to do tshuva. That's what he wanted.
That's alachai. If you want to get some decision, don't get it right away. Sleep overnight, do tomorrow. That's coming from here?
It doesn't come from here. It could come from here. It comes from the Gemara that says the Bezdin, when they have to make a decision in capital punishment, they have to sleep on it.
So Mincha, you're expected to be a little buzzed.
Oh, here it goes, yeah. No. Where did that come from?
What did he say?
No, he wants to know if you have to get drunk at every mincha.
That's what was expected back in those days.
No, they drank a cup of wine, and if they drank a little bit of wine, it wasn't... They already couldn't do it. Okay, so he says like this: in the morning, Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping that they would sleep on it and they would do tshuva, and Hashem would prove who is holy. Okay, only the number one, the Leviim, only the Kohen Gadol, which, as Rashi will soon see in the Pesukim, that's actually what Kerech wanted, to become the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so he says like this: Zei Sasu, this is what you need to do. We're going to have a test, okay? We're going to see who is the chosen one by Hashem. Chulach ha-machteis, kerech v'chol adasi. Take for yourself fire pans, okay? They're going to put incense in it, and we'll soon see what they did. Kerech and his whole community. By the way, it's very interesting. Mefarshim discussed before we even go further. The Gemara says, you cannot be like kerech v'chol adasi. Okay, when the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, it wants to give an analogy of an argument, okay, of Machlekes, it's always Kerech Va'adosei. Even in Pirkei Avos. Machlekes L'Shem Shemayim, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Hillel V'Shamay. Machlekes She'ena L'Shem Shemayim is Machlekes Kerech Va'adosei. That's what the Mishnah says. Similar to what it says, Kerech Va'adosei. So the Mefarshim and Pirkei Avos ask, and it's relevant to this parsha. It should say Kedach Hamesha.
That's interesting.
Doesn't Hillel and Shammai argue L'Shem Shemayim in Torah? So who argued not L'Shem Shemayim? Kedach Hamesha. The Mishnah doesn't say Kedach Hamesha. It says Kedach Va'adosi. Because Moshe Rabbeinu never fought. Moshe Rabbeinu never fought. In fact, Kerech, at the end, when the earth was opening up, what did they scream? Meisha Emes, V'Teirase Emes. They didn't scream Aaron Emes. In fact, it's interesting, the Mefarshim bring down that when they said Meisha Emes, V'Teirase Emes, Emes, they said, is an acronym for Aaron, Mezuzah, and Tchelis. What did Kerech argue against Moshe Rabbeinu? Tala Shukula Tchelis, we learned last week. And about the mezuzah. And an Aaron. Right? So when they scream, Moshe Emes, V'Torah say Emes, the Mefarshim say Emes stands for Aaron, mezuzah, and Tchelis. The three things that they were fighting against. But this is, so the Mefarshim explained, the Musa Sfarmers say this a lot. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't fight. When Kerech fights against Moshe Rabbeinu, what he's really doing is fighting against himself. Kerech va'adosei. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't, you can't drag, like they, over here, they didn't drag, Moshe Rabbeinu, they wanted to drag them into the argument. Moshe Rabbeinu refused. He went out of his way to make peace with them. So it's not a machlekes of Kerech and Moshe, it's a machlekes Kerech va'adosei, you only end up fighting against yourself. Because tzaddikim, real tzaddikim don't fight. And if they fight, like Hillel and Shammai did, not fight, fist fight.
Discussion.
Discussion, disagreement, it was all Hashem Shemayim. And the Mefarshim bring down, this is brought down in a lot of Svarim, by the way. If you look throughout Jewish history, yeah, we need to learn from history. Okay? Starting from Yaakov's time, there's Yaakov and Esav. Okay, then there was Kerech HaMeshah. I mean, fights throughout history. Then you had the Rambam, go through the historical, jumping generations a lot, yeah? Do you know that the Rambam, his books were burned publicly? The Gedolei Yisrael, in the Rambam's time, burnt his books publicly. They almost put a chedim on the Rambam. Because the Rambam, besides the Mer Nevuchim, that they were very much against. But the whole style of Rambam, that you don't need to learn Gemara. And that's what Rambam writes in his introduction. Now that I'm writing the book Mishneh Torah, you can go straight from Chumash to my book. That's what Rambam says in his introduction. You don't need to learn Gemara anymore. You could, and the Gedolei Yisrael at that time came out and called him a fool and an idiot. And they came out very strongly against him. Later on in history, much, much later in history, there was a fight between Rabbi Yonasan Apeshitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. This is, a little bit before the Baal Shem Tov, I think they lived. Maybe right after the Baal Shem Tov. But they're not in the Chassidic community. There's Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Chacham Tzvi's son, his name was the Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Ben Tzvi, who's known as Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yonasan Apeshitz. They were in a terrible, bloody fight. Yeah? But you're talking about the fight of Tzaddikim. There was no personal involvement there. It was all Hashem Shemayim. Is this Shita right? Is this Shita right? Is this way of doing Yiddishkeit right? Is this way of or if you go in, and they say this, go into the earlier fights of the Hasidim and the non-Hasidim, the Misnagdim, right? You're talking about the Vilna Gaon. You're talking about the Talmidim of the Mag. You're talking about the holiest of holiest Tzaddikim. Yeah? Nobody's going to say, even the greatest Chassid is not going to say the Vilna Gaon wasn't the holiest of Tzaddikim. Right? But they had a difference of Shita, but it was all the Shem Shemayim. It was all, you know, what does Hashem want us to do? But Kedach's Machlekes wasn't in any way L'Shem Shemayim. It wasn't that this is the better way to serve Hashem. Right? Kedach Mamish fought because, like Ramesh Rabbeinu says, Sunu Bikashtim Gam Tkuno. So that fight is not with Teira. That's only Kedach V'Adosei. That you only fight against yourself. You're not fighting Ramesh Rabbeinu. Ramesh Rabbeinu is not involved in that. You want to talk about Hillel Shammai? That Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in. The Baal Shem Tov said, the Moshe Kibul Torah Mesinai, Moshe. So the Baal Shem Tov said, Moshe stands for Machlekes Shammai Hillel. The Baal Shem Tov said, the word Moshe is an acronym for Machlekes Shammai Hillel. The argument of Shammai and Hillel was Kibul Torah Mesinai. Those old, that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in. But to say that Moshe Rabbeinu should be involved in Kedach, it says no. It's Kedach V'Adosei. Now, what, like you mentioned before, why is the parsha called Kedach? The guy's a Rasha. He ended up in the ground. Right? In the red, like they say in Yiddish. In the ground. Why is the parsha called Kedach? Because like we learned, the whole concept of Kedach is a transformation that his children did tshuva, and they became Bali tshuva, that Shmuel HaNavi came out of it. In other words, the purpose of Kedach, of the Machlekes, is not the fight for the sake of the fight. The peace that comes as the outcome of the fight. And that's the purpose of the Parsha. That Kedach, if you remember last week we discussed Kuf, Resh, and Ches, right? All bad letters. Remember we discussed it at great length, right? Because there's thought and speech and action. Okay? So from all these letters, you transform the Resh into a Dalet and the Hey, the Ches into a Hey, and the Kuf into a Hey. Then it's a whole different level of Kedusha. That's what needs to be brought out from Kedach. Huh? If you notice, interesting, the Torah should have been called Vayikach. What's the first word of the Parsha? Vayikach.
Yeah.
We don't call the Parsha Vayikach. We don't even call the Parsha Vayikach Kedach. Because the name, this itself, by the way, there's a very interesting concept. In Sfarim it says, especially in the Chassidish Sfarim, it says, the name of the Parsha brings out the essence of the Parsha. The name that is called in Lashon Kodesh is the essence. The Gemara says a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says Rab Meir, the famous Rab Meir of the Gemara, Medayik Bishma. He learned, he was very meticulous about the name of a person. The Gemara tells a story, and I think it's a native, and the Gemara tells a story about Rab Meir. A new student came to him, and the mayor told the students, watch this guy, he's a ganef. Just be careful from him. He's a ganef. And the student said to him, Rabbi, the Gemara says, well, he's such a wonderful guy. What are you talking about, a ganef? The Gemara tells him once in the merchats, in the mikveh, wherever, the bathhouse, the guy stole all his clothes and checked out. He stole everybody's clothes and he checked out with all their money. So they came to the mayor and they said, how did you know? He said, by what his name was. From his name, I knew what he was. The name brings out the essence of the object. Okay? Like it says, when other Marishin called the names, to, remember we learned a long time ago, other Marishin called the names to all the animals. The Malachim couldn't do it. Right? The angels couldn't do it, it says. And Adam proved that he was greater than the angels because he was able to give names. What's the big deal giving a name? Tom, Dick, Harry, everybody names their dog. I mean, what's the big deal giving names? The answer is because a Torah name brings out the whole essence of the parsha, of the thing. The name of a parsha brings out the essence of the parsha. And the proof of it they bring is a very interesting proof. The second parsha in Chumash, Bereishis, and then what's the second parsha? Noach. Yeah? Noach is the third word of the parsha. How does Noach begin? Ele toldis Noach. Noach is Sadik. Now, think about parsha's toldis. It says, Be'ele toldis Yitzchak. Now just listen. Logically, Noach should be called toldis. You can't call it Ve'ele because 100 parshas begin with Ve'ele, right? But if you think about it, you can't pick the first word. Okay, take the second word. Ele toldis Noach. So what should Noach be called? Toldis. Ele toldis Yitzchak. You can't call it Ele. Toldis is already taken. So that parsha should be called Yitzchak. Right? But what's the accepted name Teirahi by the Jewish people? Noach is called Noach. And toldis Yitzchak is called Toldis. This is a proof that they bring that the name of the parsha is not stam because it's the first word. Because then Noach should have been called Toldis, and Toldos should be called Yitzchak. So when you have a name Kerech, later there would be continued more about this. But when you have the name Kerech, the name of a parsha, is because we need to transform the letters of Kuf and Reish and Ches, which are negative letters of thought, speech, and action, into something positive. Oh, yeah.